This is the Should Have Bet More podcast, presented by Goal Boys Network. Here's your host, Will Hill.
Welcome to the Should Have Bet More podcast, presented by Goal Boys. Coming up on the show, Gil Alexander of A Numbers Game will join us. We will go over a little bit of everything: Major League Baseball playoffs, the NFL, and what a fun time of year! What a weekend it was! College football upsets. Baseball playoffs, all the drama with the Mets from Thursday throughout the weekend, and we will get to the Mets and then NFL Sunday. So just an incredible weekend. We got more to come Monday with some day games in baseball, but I'll start with the NFL. I'm not going to go game by game like I usually do just because I have so much baseball to get to. I'll just go with some of the main bullet points, some of the things I thought were significant, and I'll go in chronological order. Jets-Vikings. Vikings win. They hold on 23-17. They're up 17-0, and yeah, they were up 17-0, but they weren't really dominating the game. A lot of it was like penalty yardage, and they got a pick six. Rodgers was not good. Rodgers has not looked good. This was just a fascinating game because it was two teams that were sort of opposite in terms of, like, the Jets had all these high expectations but were underachieving. Minnesota came into the year with no expectations and is completely overachieving. You wanted to see, like, what's real? Is Minnesota real? Are the Jets really going to struggle? The Jets now 2-3. They had their chances at the end. They just, everything looks so hard for them on offense. They don't look well coached. Rodgers can't move. He's dealing with a knee sprain before the game. He said he got an ankle injury. So, if this is the Rodgers you're going to get, and I thought they'd be better. I thought they'd be a contender. It looks like I'm going to be wrong. It's not enough. It's just not enough. And maybe they trade for Adams and they can use that familiarity, that continuity, another weapon. They did target Wilson a million times today for, you know, the first time where they finally got him involved. Breece Hall has done nothing, but it just doesn't look right with the Jets. And I mean, this, not to over dramatize it, they play the Bills on Monday night coming up in a week or so, a week from Monday. And it's, you could say it's their season. They're 2-3. If you go to 2-4, you're probably going to need 10 wins to get in the AFC. Is this team really going to go 8-3? I don't know that they will. I know it's a reasonable schedule, but 8-3, it just doesn't look like they beat anybody easily. And on the other hand, if they win the game, the Bills lost to the Texans on Sunday. Bills are 3-2. If you win, you're 3-3, and you're in first place because you got a tiebreak over the Bills. So this is, in a way, their season. I don't know. Would they fire Salah if they didn't win this game? I don't know where you'd go for a coach. You know, we've talked about it. Like, would Belichick take this job midseason? He might. I'm not sure. I mean, he's doing a million different media gigs. Is that the direction the Jets want to go? But I mean, Salah just does not inspire a lot of confidence. After the game, he's like, "Well, it's early. We're only five games in the season. I mean, come on, it's, you know, this isn't baseball. You don't get 162 games. It's not early. You're 2-3. Your season is on the brink here. So there's just never any urgency, never accountability. They just do not look like a well-coached team. Meanwhile, the Vikings, and Darnold didn't play well. Aaron Jones got hurt, and they couldn't run the ball. They didn't do a good job running out the clock. They let the Jets stick around, just like they let Green Bay stick around a week ago. So that's something to keep an eye on. But if you look at the schedule, they play the Lions after their bye. So they have a bye, then the Lions. That's a home game for the Vikings, which will probably be about, I would say, a pick 'em thereabouts. They're going to be favored in just about all, you know, all of these games going forward. They play the Bears twice. I know the Bears had a nice win Sunday, but they play the Bears twice. The Cardinals, they play the Falcons. They play the Titans and the Jaguars. They play, it's a pretty soft schedule here for the Vikings. And as long as the Vikings win the division, you got to favor the Vikings to be the one seed right now, because if they can win the division, I mean, we all kind of give the benefit of the doubt to San Francisco based on their recent track record. They're the best team in the NFC. San Francisco lost their third game and they gave away a game on Sunday to Arizona. Second time in 3 weeks, they gave a game away. Up 13, up 23-10 is a 7-point favorite. You figure rocking chair win, the kicker gets hurt, that comes back to bite him, but that's an awful loss for the 49ers. And the Vikings beat the 49ers head-to-head, so Vikings have zero losses. The 49ers have three, plus the Vikings have a tiebreaker. It's nearly impossible for the 49ers to catch the Vikings at this point. You're basically, you know, four games back and you don't play them head to head. So if the Vikings can win the division, you'd be ahead of San Francisco. Do you worry about Washington or Philly stealing your spot? I mean, it's basically, if Minnesota can win the division, they are in very, very good. They've got a long way to go. Detroit's still really good. I mean, the whole division is pretty good, but Minnesota, hard to believe. I can't believe I'm saying it as a legitimate. I'll be interested to see. They open these markets odds to be the one seed. I'll be interested to see what their price is to be the number one seed, because Minnesota, even, you know, wasn't a great game. Like I said, Darnold wasn't good, but they did what they had to do. It was ugly. There was a lot of penalties, a lot of important. Seems like a lot of these primetime games, there's a ton of penalties, but Minnesota in good shape here at 5-0. going into buy their bye. I mean, who would have thought that? That's just an incredible job by O'Connell, and barring something unforeseen, he's got to be. It's hard to crown coach of the year this early because so many things happen, and these award markets are so reactive, and there's some recency bias at the end of the year. As long as you finish strong, that's what matters. But O'Connell's obviously got a hell of a shot here. Some of these other games, awful loss for the Bengals. They're up 10 with like 5 minutes to go at home. Burrow played an incredible game. Touchdown, interception, Baltimore ties it. They go to overtime, and they get a break because Lamar takes his eye off the snap. Cincinnati runs it back basically into field goal territory. And Zach Taylor, the Bengals coach, does the dumbest thing you ever see. Run up the middle, basically settling for like a 51, 52-yard field goal, which they missed. Now, look, they missed because the hold was bad. The punter is the holder, and he bobbled the snap. He just didn't get the snap down cleanly, so I guess theoretically you could make a case, hey, whether it's a 30-yarder or a 50-yarder, if the guy's going to botch the snap, he's going to botch the snap. It doesn't matter. But still, the process of that is broken. That's not a chip shot field goal. I mean, I know he's a pretty good kicker, but he's not that automatic where, hey, 53. And plus you got Burrow, who's just playing incredible, incredible game. I mean, he was awesome in the game, and that's a death blow for Cincy because instead of being 2-3, making Baltimore 2-3 and giving yourself a head-to-head win, and now, hey, we can catch Pittsburgh maybe, and we're in the mix here for this division. We got as good a shot as anybody, you think, is Pittsburgh playing Dallas right now. So we'll see how that game goes. But since he went from being right back in the mix to win the division to, I don't want to say drawing dead because their schedule is pretty favorable too, and they've gotten hot late in these seasons. But now you lost a home game to Baltimore. Baltimore has the tiebreaker. You still have to go to Baltimore at 1-4. Boy, that is a hell of a hole to dig out of, and that is an awful, awful loss for Cincinnati. They deserve better. They really, could have, should have won that game. Texans beat the Bills in a really good game. 59-yard field goal at the buzzer. They were up 20-3. They blew the lead. But I know there was some thought. And I had this on one of the screens. I'll have to go back and watch it. There was some thought that McDermott was way too aggressive at the end of the game. I'd rather you be more aggressive than Zach Taylor and passive and just, play for the field goal. So again, I'll have to go back and watch it, but I know that was a common opinion as I was, reading through things. Commanders just stay on fire. 34-13. I was dead wrong on this game. I thought, buy low, sell high here with Cleveland. Cleveland was awful. Their defense was awful. Watson is absolutely unplayable. I don't know what you do if you're Cleveland because I'm not an expert in the cap, but they owe him so much money, but he is so bad. And it's not all him. I know it's not all him and his offensive line, but he can't move anymore. He tries to run around and he gets buried by two or three different guys. He doesn't have the quickness. He doesn't have the speed to just the athleticism's not there. They owe him so much money. He's just, that is an absolute nightmare. Their season is done. They're 1-4. They are finished. Are the Browns. Mentioned the Cardinals with the comeback upset over the 49ers and the Giants over the Seahawks too. I mean, it started ominously for the Giants because they had a play where they had to have gotten in the end zone. On the first drive, you couldn't quite tell because there's not the camera right down the goal line. It fumbled, then it gets ran back. I mean, it had to have been a touchdown for the Seahawks. They don't give it to them, and they give it to it had to have been a touchdown for the Giants. They call it a fumble and a touchdown for the Seahawks. 14-point swing. Doesn't matter. Giants come back. They win the game anyway, 29-20. And they have quietly not been that bad. When you look back at some of their data points, the game against the Vikings, that's aged pretty well. They got buried, but the Vikings are better than we thought. That game against Washington, where, hey, if they had a kicker, they would have won. That's aged pretty well. They beat Cleveland. They were competitive against Dallas. So maybe New York, Dable's a good coach. Maybe New York's not as awful as we think. So, and by the way, Denver, 34-18 over the Raiders. Denver now, that's not a bad team. I said it last week watching them against the Jets. And I know I killed Knicks and I killed Peyton at the start of the season when they couldn't score and couldn't throw the ball. They got a lot of good players on defense. That's not a bad team. Curious to check their odds to make the playoffs because that team getting to like 9 wins or something does not seem inconceivable. That is a solid football team. Denver, underrated, really underrated, especially on defense. So that's the football. Before we get to Gil, quickly on the baseball, boy, what an exciting weekend. Gut punch of a loss for the Mets. I know you could spin it and say, hey, we got our split all you wanted when we were on the road and we're facing Wheeler. We would have signed up for a split, 7 days a week or whatever, twice on Sundays, whatever the expression is. That's true. But when you're up 3-0 in the sixth inning, and then you have another lead going into the eighth inning after the Nimmo homer, And then Vientos, just this incredible Mets team. They never stop playing. They never stop coming back. Vientos, homers, you figure, now maybe we're going to pull another miracle. To lose that, that's a tough one. Because, again, you could say, hey, we would have signed for 1-1, but expectations readjust themselves based on what happened. At 3-0 in the sixth, up one in the eighth, you're not thinking sweep. You're like you're a monster favorite to win the game, and you're a monster favorite to win the series. And if you won game two, what are you, like a -8, -900 favorite? Now you are +110, Phillies -140 for the series. So I still have confidence in the Mets. I do think they have a little magic, a little karma. That does worry me, the way they lost the game. If they came out today and lost the game 9-0, so you know what? You got your split. You rallied late on Saturday. You know what? You'll take that. The fact that they had the lead, they kind of had, you felt like, boy, the Mets are going to put this series away. A couple more outs, a couple more pitches, and the Mets are going to put this series away. The fact that they didn't do it makes me a little nervous. They play Tuesday, 5 o'clock Eastern. It will be Nola against Manaea. I'm sure that building will be rocking. Probably going to a fifth game. Do you think they split? If you're the Mets, hey, we win our two home games and we move on. I don't know. I'll still pick the Mets, but that was a concerning loss, just the way it happened. But my goodness, everything, you know, with the Mets is gravy. I understand that, but man, you are a couple outs away from really punching your ticket. You figure to the NLCS, we're going up to nothing, going home with a 2-0 lead. Man, that was right there for you. So we'll keep an eye on that. Dodgers and Padres are playing right now. Dodgers won the first game. Padres trying to even it. So by the time you listen to this, that'll be either 1-1 or 2-0. Padres, as I said about that series, fascinating how nobody seemed to pick the Dodgers. Almost like the Dodgers are an underdog, which Dodgers are never underdog. I wonder if that, you know, got into their head, took a little pressure off them. So we'll keep an eye on that series as that is being played right now. We'll revisit that in a couple of days. Two games on Monday, Tigers, Guardians. Tigers need this. Scooble's going against Cleveland. Tigers got bombed out of the building Saturday, first playoff game, right off the bat. Five innings, the opener had nothing. Cleveland scored a million runs. This is it. Now look, if you're Detroit, hey, if you win this game with Scooble, which, hey, you always expect to win Scooble games. It's almost like a Cliff Lee feel of it, of like, you know, back in 2009 or 10, whatever, or anytime you pitch, you just kind of mark that down as an automatic win. But if you can win that and you're Detroit, hey, we're 1-1 and we're going home. I still think Cleveland wins that series. I'm not betting against Scooble. I just think he's that good. So I'll pick Detroit to win this game. I do think Cleveland figures out a way to win the series. But again, if you get to a fifth game and you're seeing Scooble on the mound, that's not a good position to be in. But I do think Cleveland advances. And I think the Yankees, this is not going to be an easy game because Reagans is really good and Rodon is shaky. This is a pitching advantage for Kansas City. Obviously, I mean, this is the term must win gets overused, but as it is, the Royals need to win 3 out of 4 against the Yankees. They'd have to play a fifth game in Yankee Stadium. If they lose this, then they got to win 3 in a row. Could it happen? I mean, it happens in baseball. It's not like the NBA where you go up 3-0 and you're dead. It's baseball. So, I mean, if you're down 2-0, you know, you win one game, and then the fourth game, you're tying, you're playing to tie it up. It changes very quickly. That being said, Yankees are in good shape because I think, and I don't know that they win this game too, but I do think they're in good shape to win the series. The fact that they played such a bad game Saturday night, Judge striking out in big spots, leaving a million runners on. Cole had absolutely nothing. He got hammered. Volpe with the defensive miscue. And you still won the game. Now, granted, you got a break at second base because it looked like Chisholm was out. But to play that poorly and still win, I do think is a good sign. I think Yankees should get by the Royals. I think it was Adnan Verk who had the stat. I heard him the other day say, our buddy who comes on this podcast, MLB Network, the Royals went 12-1 against the White Sox. They were under 500 against the rest of the league. So this is a Yankee team that's better. You got to beat Kansas City. I know Reagans is good. Witt's good. They've got some pieces. Lugo in a couple days. It's not a pushover, but the Yankees should figure out a way here to get 2 out of the next 4 here in advance. So Royals plus a run and a half, -140. That's not a bad bet. Just because if the Royals win, you win. No, what? Scratch that. We're -165. I don't have a play on that one. I don't have a play. I do like Detroit. I like the Mets in game three. I think they'll beat Nola. I don't trust Nola. I think the Yankees win, but I think, boy, you're getting plus money with the better pitcher. That's not a play for me. And Judge, and here's the other thing. Judge, as great as he is, and it's not fair. Well, maybe it is fair. You can't be this great in the playoffs. You can't be this great in the regular season and be this bad in the playoffs or struggle this much. He's going to start to hear about it. Now he gets a little break. They won the other night, kind of goes away. But if they lose, you know, this game or this series or they lose some point in the playoffs and he's, you know, striking out every time he comes up to the plate, it's going to be a rough offseason because there's, you know, sports fans, you're not treated kindly when you're a legitimately great player and you don't do it. You don't duplicate in the playoffs. You get that reputation of somebody who doesn't come through in the clutch. And it's, I know 70 something at bats. It's not a huge sample, but it's not a nothing sample either. So I would figure Judge at some point comes out of it and has a monster run here. He's too good a player not to, but there is going to be a little pressure here on Judge to get it done. So fun day here. Monday, we got 4 o'clock Eastern, Tigers against the Guardians, then 7:30 Yankees Royals, Monday Night Football, Chiefs Saints. I mentioned I like the Saints plus the 5.5. Fun time of the year. We will discuss all of that and more with Gil Alexander. That is next. This Should Have Bet More podcast. All right, we are back. Should Have Bet More podcast. You can catch him a numbers game, beating the book Megapod. It is the great Gil Alexander. Gilly, I don't think I've ever called you great before. I think you've been upgraded. What's going on, man? Thanks for coming on.
Thanks for having me. What a Sunday we're experiencing. Baseball and football. Tremendous.
What a weekend with the college football upsets, Bama and Vandy. Friday was a little bit of a lull, but even the high of the Thursday with the Mets Brewers, it just feels like, you know, these 4 days, it's just been, you can't even breathe.
As we're doing this, we've had, you're right about Alabama, Vandy. I mean, just out of nowhere, right? And then ended up being 5 out of the top 11 got upset, 5 of the top 11 ranked teams. These first 5 division baseball games, we're recording this as the Padres-Dodgers game 2 is starting. 4 out of the 5 have been awesome, right? Like the NFL was actually pretty good today.
Yeah, it was.
And it wasn't, but baseball is just on another planet, these games.
It is. We will we'll get to baseball. Start with NFL. What is your like one big takeaway from today's games? Do you have anything where now you want to write a team off? Now you want to upgrade a team and take whatever direction you want?
No, the Jets, the London game was interesting to me because my sort of working assumption is that the Jets are, you know, I thought the Jets this offseason were going to be great. And it turns out they're just not very good. There's nothing, and it appears that they have to go out and get Devontae Adams because besides Lazard, Rodgers doesn't seem to have any chemistry with any of those receivers.
Yep.
That seems very obvious to me. So the Jets have to do something. For me personally, though, I do guessing lines on Monday. This is one of those weeks, man, where doing guessing lines is the greatest thing ever because – all of my instincts were correct. And all week long, you know, you listen to other people in your little world that you live in tell you, you know, or not tell you specifically, but you start to think that your picks are square, right? Oh, Washington, it's going to be an overreaction. Yeah, not so much. Oh, the Packers. Yeah, not so much. Houston. Yeah, not so much. So it's like all of my instincts were corroborated. So for me, I was pumped that my power rankings were pretty accurate. This was a great week for me in the NFL, and I liked a lot. And that always worries me, but this time it worked out.
I think you use this question, to use Fez's term, I'm going to aggregate this question and throw it back to you. What do you know? What do you think you know? Outside the obvious of like, you know, the Patriots aren't good. What are you confident? What do you feel good about? As like, you know, San Francisco is quietly 2-3. I was texting with Parles. I was like, is anybody good? We've had this conversation. Is anyone good? What do you feel good? You know,
I think the Green Bay Packers are really good. I think I'm way higher than them than most. I know they lost to Minnesota and they lost to Philly. But there was no shame in either of those. The Minnesota game was Love's first game back. Took him a while to sort of get acclimated. And then the Philly game was just kind of odd. It was in Brazil, right? So I think the Packers are sneaky good. And I think Washington is, again, it's very simple to say, if you don't make a team punt and they don't turn the ball over, you're really hard to beat. And they haven't played anybody yet. That's the only thing, right? Next week is going to be the test. We need one more week when they play Baltimore. We need one more week to really say what the skins are. Until then, we don't really know. But for me, I think the Packers are really good. And I think the other, which is a little bit of an outlier, I think people think they're good. I don't know if they think they're as great as I do. And then on the downside, the Cleveland Browns often is probably the worst unit of football I've seen all year, and that's saying a lot. But like, they can't do anything. My brother, who is, you know, I have an older brother who is just, he's not really a sports fan, but he's an NFL fan. Even he was like, why don't they put Jameis in? And I'm like, I don't think you can do that if you guarantee this guy $230 million. I mean, it's just, that was the worst team. Washington has played the Giants. They've played the Cardinals, you know. They've played bad teams, yeah. Or not great teams. I mean, the Cardinals obviously said something a bit different about that today. But the Browns were the worst by far of all of them.
And I was thinking maybe the Giants are like better than we thought, because look at all of their data points. Like the Vikings bury in week one. All right, the Vikings are really good. It doesn't look as bad. Washington, like they could have beaten Washington if they had a kicker. All of a sudden that Washington data point doesn't look as bad. They right. beat Cleveland. They beat Seattle. They were competitive with Dallas. I mean, and I know you and I have gone, I don't think we disagree that much. Dayball, he does a lot with little, and you could say smoke and mirrors. Maybe it is. It has to be smoke and mirrors because they don't have a lot of talent, but that team is, you know, maybe they're going to be more competitive. Maybe he can coach them to 5 or 6 wins, no matter how limited they are.
Yeah. I mean, and it goes without saying, just to sort of, you know, drive home how ridiculous this league is from a handicapping standpoint, you know, another 50% of survivors went out. So it's like, it is the ultimate Plinko league. And you really do need the ball from a handicapping standpoint. You really need the ball to go your way. So even what you think you know still is like the slightest edge, like not even edge. It's like you still have to have things go your way for that to be corroborated, I guess is what I'm trying to say. So even what you know is shaky in this league. Because any given Sunday, obviously, but, you know, I mean, I think about also what don't we know? How many teams in the middle don't you have any idea what they really are? Do you know what the Rams are? Do you know what the Cardinals are? I'm just thinking about all these Mookie. Oh, I'm sorry. I'm not supposed to react live to what we're watching. There's just so much. There's so much in the middle that I just have no clue right now what a lot of these teams are. But I agree with you about the Giants. I think they're a lot feistier now, we can say with confidence, right, than we thought they would be.
Are you worried about San Francisco? 2-3. This is 2 games in the last 3 weeks they absolutely gave away. I know you say, oh, we didn't have our kicker. I don't know. It just feels like this is everything goes wrong season with McCaffrey, Super Bowl hangover. They played a lot of games in a short period of time. You have any concern here about the 49ers?
I worry about McCaffrey coming back at all. Like, I don't know if you have bilateral tendonitis, how scary would that be to play football again? Just something's going to pop, something. I mean, it's just like, he was never the most durable back. So there's that. But to your question about whether I worry about them, I kind of a little bit, they don't seem as, let's put it this way. I still think they're the most talented team in football. And they didn't have their kicker today. So that played a part in it. But they're not on the lofty perch that I thought they were. Let's put it that way. And I'm just trying to think like about doing power rankings. I can't really keep them at number one anymore.
Yeah.
I think Kansas City's shaky. Is Baltimore the best team in the NFL? Maybe. Like if you know, you had to have one team win one game, they're as good a choice as any.
And they really should have lost today and been, 2-3? So, I mean, it just goes to show, I don't
know. Exactly. So, a Bengals team that is now effectively probably done, right?
Yeah, I mean, they got some winnable games, and they've had a habit of digging out of these holes. But, boy, 1-4, you know, you're probably going to have to find your way to 10 wins. It's not that easy. It's really not. You can't afford any of these, you know, trip-ups. And I thought Taylor did just a terrible job settling for the 50-yarder. Now, maybe he would have botched the snap anyway, but my goodness, I thought that was really bad. Now, you mentioned you're a Washington fan. I'm a Minnesota fan. Has it crossed your mind that we could play each other in like the NFC title game? Has that even entered the realm of possibility?
No, it has not. And how dare you even try to get me to think that?
Okay.
I represent all, I think, Washington fans, which is none of us can really embrace this yet. Because, by the way, also like RG3's first, this has RG3 vibes all over it. And RG3's first injury his rookie year was not blowing out his knee in the Seattle playoff game, but was spraining his knee against the Ravens late in the season. That was the first big injury. And so now they play the Ravens next week. So like until like that's the fulcrum point for this team. If they play well in that game, then I think it's time to think things. until then, you know, I'm not going to think any of those things, or some of which are logical, some of which are completely illogical. The Vikings and Washington are still, to me, not the two best teams in the NFC. I still think it's San Francisco and Green Bay. And Vikings fans will say, what do you mean we beat Green Bay? And I know you did, but I don't know how much London played in that performance today, but like the Vikings didn't look particularly great in that game, I didn't think.
This was Darnold's worst game by far. Once they lost Jones, they couldn't run the ball. A lot of their yardage was ugly because a lot of their yardage was penalty yardage, and they were pretty strict with what the Jets defensive backs could and couldn't do. They threw a lot of flags, but I agree. Not their best performance. They've had a hard time closing out these games. That being said, they get a bye, they get Detroit at home, and they get a lot of Titans and Jags and Bears, Falcons, Cardinals. I'll be interested when these markets open up, Vikings odds to be the one seed, because if they win the division, they have zero losses. Like a team like the Niners, we all think is great. The 49ers have three losses, and the Vikings beat them head-to-head. Like, it's virtually impossible for a team like the 49ers to catch Minnesota. Seattle lost today. I think there's a path for Minnesota if they win the division. Now, look, Detroit, they still got games against Detroit and Green Bay, and you know these teams are good, although they've got a 2.5 game lead on Green Bay because they have the tiebreaker there and a home game there. So the one seed, odds to be the one seed, is a market that I'll be interested to keep an eye on.
Yeah, obviously I left out Detroit from that. It's Detroit, Green Bay, and San Francisco to me are still better than Washington and Minnesota, but I could be very wrong about that. And the AFC, I think Miami, I'll stick by what I've said for a couple of weeks. They might end up being the worst team in all of football when all is said and done, even though they won today. Obviously they don't have Tua, but I think that's what that performance the other night by their head coach was awful. And then he goes his way out of a bag. I'm talking about Mike McDaniel. And I think the Houston Texans, right? Like, I think Houston, Kansas City, and I know I always leave out Buffalo, and those fans always hate that I do, but I just don't see them as good as the top tier. I don't. Because if your best play remains Josh Allen just running the football, that is just not modern-day football. And at some point, that is going to be exposed. By the way, how about him getting a head and leg injury and missing one play in that game? I mean, like, this protocol does not apply to certain players.
Crazy. No, it is crazy. And I thought it was a big win for Miami because you want to at least put a win on the board and make it worthwhile for Tua to come back. Not like, hey, I'm cleared, but we're 1-6. I might as well just sit out the year because what's the point? You want to at least, you know, hang in the game here. Baseball, two games on Monday. Your Tigers against the Guardians, Scooble going against Matt Boyd, and then Cole Reagans and the Royals going against Rodon and the Yankees. You like either game?
Yeah, it's so funny that they became my Tigers just because I got them at plus 450 to make the playoffs, the second to last win of the season. It's really my Guardians. Guardians in March, April. Yeah, well, March, April, May for the Guardians was epic. And then, even though we didn't get either of them home. But then, you know, I have three World Series matchups still alive with the Guardians. Two or three. I have them against the Phillies and against the Padres, so I have two. So for me, I really am hoping that they can get to the promised land, or at least to the World Series. I don't have a play in either game yet. I do. The only series play, I have the Royals series play, and I have the Padres series play. So I need the Padres to even things up. I really want the Royals to even things up against the Yankees. You're a Yankees fan. I'm curious your reaction to the 5-5. The game was 5-5 yesterday. And then Jazz Chisholm, you know, at second base, replay seemed pretty clear to me that he was out. And it somehow withstood replay. And I just found that to be such a quintessential Yankee playoff moment. It never fails that they get some bizarro thing that goes their way. And I'm just like, how is this okay? How is that all right? By the way, strike three to Witt, too, is just ridiculous.
Yeah, I thought the out at second was bad. I thought he was out. I thought the way, if you look at like the MLB box, part of the ball clips part of the zone, I thought that was more 50-50. I mean, but I know what you mean. And it's, I don't know, it's been a while since the Jeffrey Mayers of the world where the Yankees get the calls, but it's maybe order's restoring. I thought from a Yankee perspective, it was a positive sign because they played such a dog shit game from Judge leaving guys on base, Cole getting rocked, Volpe makes an error. Like, you play that bad a game and you still won. I think it will be hard for Kansas City to beat them 3 out of 4, which they'll have to. Reagans Rodon is a good matchup for Kansas City, so I wouldn't be shocked if we're 1-1. I do figure the Yankees, this is me. I mean, you got Judge, you got Soto, you got three American League Central teams. I think the Yankees have enough to squeak by these teams and get to a World Series, even though I do think they're flawed.
Yeah. I don't, nothing would surprise me at this point. Nothing.
Oh, I don't trust them at all. Like if you told me they lose the next three to Kansas City, they go, oh, yep, typical Yankees. I don't trust them. But if I had to pick, I just like the top end talent and the lack of competition, I would opt for them. That's the only reason. It's not some, you know, overwhelming faith in them.
Even Detroit, you know, as we do this, Detroit is down 1-0 in a best of five to Cleveland. Even Detroit wouldn't surprise me at this point because they have Scooble for two of these.
Yeah.
So like,
well, you got to get the second. You don't necessarily have him for two. You got to force the second because he wouldn't go until five, right?
So That's correct. You have to force the second one. That's right.
You basically have to win one non. You have to win all the Scooble games and win one non-Scooble game.
Like they did in the wild card series. Yes. Got to win a non-Scooble game.
Do you like them tomorrow?
What's the? I didn't even look. I've been
minus $1.25, $1.30 or so.
Yeah, that's what it should be. I'm not touching that. I mean, that's probably what it should be. Because they're still, I mean, like, their bats are just, I mean, I'm thinking about, like, Riley Green, like, you think about, is he the, if you put him on any team, is he even close to the best, like, he's the best Tiger bat. Would he be even close to be the, would he even be close to being the best bat on any of these other playoff teams? The answer is no, right? Like, there's not even, I don't think there's any question he wouldn't be. So you just think about what the Lions are able to cobble together offensively, and you're like, wow. Can they do it? Can they continue to do this with patchwork pitching outside of the Scooble games? They're a fascinating team. I love this stuff about the Tigers because, again, like, what's the optimal? If there was no need to manage 162 games, what's the optimal way to pitch a baseball game? It would be to, like, put in pitchers every two innings. And essentially, that's what the Tigers have to do to win that non-Scooble game.
Series prices right now, Cleveland minus 235, Tigers plus 190, Philly minus 140, Mets plus 110, Yankees minus 450, Kansas City plus 330. Anything, if you had nothing in pocket, anything worth a bet?
I think I hate to say this because the Mets appear to have the magic. But I feel like the Phillies may have turned things around today.
What I'm worried about.
Yeah. That was about, of all the games, that might have been the most epic of all of them. And boy, their Phillies are a tough. I mean, even when they we've seen them in this, you know, this era at Citizens Bank Park, it's such a tough place to win a baseball game.
It is.
And the Mets just appear to never die. And the fact they finally did die, you know, Phillies got to do it twice more. But I think that minus 140, if I had to bet anything right now, that would be what I would bet.
I've been very confident in the Mets for a few weeks. I've been saying they've got some magic, some karma. I've been riding them. If they lost the game 9-0 today, I wouldn't, you know, blink. I'd say, hey, you got your split. You were on the road. You beat Wheeler. You did your job. The fact that they're up 3-0 in the sixth, a few outs away, they're up they had another lead in the eighth where they're six outs. I mean, you're very close to going home up 2-0 and being like a minus, what, $800, $900 favorite in the series. And to be 1-1, I worry. Now, look, this Mets team is resilient, but like you said, I worry if this is the one that, you know, you're going to look back and say, man, we didn't close this out and that cost us the series.
Yeah. I you know, what a week they've given us, though, right?
Oh, like, man.
I'm trying to live it through Parles, our mutual friend, Jeff Parler. And so I'm like, I'm rooting for him, even though I don't have a bet on them. I have a bet. I have one World Series matchup, as I said, with the Phillies. So, but it's, it just also just shows you, like, with these, watching these again, it reminds you how absolutely difficult it is to run the gauntlet of a postseason, right? And the fact that teams, and I know when the Yankees won the three the 4 in the 5 year span in the late 90s into the year 2000, that there weren't as many series at that point. But still, to do that is incredible. Like the Giants winning 3 and 5 at the beginning of last decade, to do that is just, it's mind-boggling in retrospect, right? Like, as you watch these games, like, oh my god, how did you do that over and over? Incredible.
Yeah, I mean, Philly has this great season over a 200-day 162 game stretch. The Mets scratch and claw their way into the postseason, and Mets are a couple outs away from basically eliminating, where all of that goes out the window in 48 hour span, whatever it is. It's just, it's, you know, it turns quickly here. Any last baseball thoughts? Anything I missed?
I mean, I'd like to see the Royals get a little vindicated for that game one. I know you don't, but I'd like to see them come back and even this up. I would hate to think that series of events in game one just screwed them and that they never bounced back from it. So I'd like to sort of, even if they do end up winning it, even if they do end up losing it, I'd like for them to have some sort of competitiveness in this, because I would hate for that to be the sort of taste in my mouth about it.
Yeah. And back to the Mets for a second. I think you and I were texting about this too, where it's like, it's almost, and it changed a little bit Sunday, but it's almost like all this bad luck they've had in their franchise with, you know, bad ownership, bad losses in the playoffs, all of this like bad karma has kind of reversed itself all in one postseason. We're like, oh my God, Senga's back to pitch. Oh my God, they get a game tying homer. They get a game winning. Like, all of it's happened at once. So I do sort of lean to like the Mets still have this karma. And I figured, if you ask me right now, I think the Mets find a way to get through this series.
Well, they appear to have the magic, right? Even like, even if you have the magic, you don't win every game, right?
Right.
So it could very well be their year also. And I'm just trying to think, would any team winning of these final eight teams, would any team winning it surprise me? Sure, there's degrees of surprise, right? Like if the Kansas City Royals won the World Series, I would be legitimately surprised.
Tigers for me.
And the Tigers, right? And I think they're great teams that probably will hit a ceiling, but it's freaking baseball. You don't know, you know? So it is the best drama, the baseball postseason. And this is where I feel like I'm 1,000 years old. And I feel like when we talk about playoff baseball, that there is only a handful. I know this is not true, right? But I feel like it's a small fraternity of people who really appreciate this now. And even when I'm talking to Parles, who's young, so I don't think it has to do with age. I think it has to do with the region where you grew up or where you spent a lot of time. And the rest of the country, I wonder if they get what they're missing. It's so good.
Yeah, like how could you watch these Mets Brewers games, the Mets Philly game today? How could you watch this and not just be like, you know, on pins and needles, whether you have skin in the game or not? It's just, it is so intense. It's just so captivating. It really is.
Yeah, it's awesome.
Gilly, you're the best. Let everyone know where they can find you.
Numbers game, 10 a.m. Eastern to noon Eastern at Monday through Friday. And of course, the Beating the Book podcast. You are part of the Megapod on Thursdays. How did you do today, by the way, in the NFL?
0-1. I had Cleveland. I've got Detroit. I mean, I've got Dallas, Pittsburgh under tonight. And then I have the Saints tomorrow. Remember, I went to pick Bengals, Ravens over. And then I go, no, I'm going to pick the Saints. Of course, that cashed easily. It's just it's how it's gone. It's how
your Megapod luck is not there.
Yeah, I'm seeing ghosts right now. It'll bounce back. It's it's all right.
Yeah, it'll come back.
Gilly, appreciate the time, man. Thanks.
My man, thank you.
That will do it. Appreciate you guys. Listen, rate, review, subscribe. We will be back Wednesday. See you then.